Morning all. Morning. My name's Pete. I'm known for being shy and quiet. Why are you laughing? It's just right. Okay, we're continuing in our series in Galatians. And we're going to read from Galatians, the whole of chapter 5. I'm going to be reading from The Message. I might have read from the New Living Translation, but my iPad isn't working very well. But that's fine, it's okay, it's all good. So, Galatians 5. Christ has set us free to live a free life. So take your stand. Never again let anyone put a harness of slavery on you. I am emphatic about this. The moment any one of you submits to circumcision or any other rule-keeping system, at that same moment, Christ's hard-won gift of freedom is squandered. I repeat my warning. The person who accepts the way of circumcision trades all the advantages of the free life in Christ for the obligations of the slave life of the law. I suspect you would never intend this, but this is what happens. When you attempt to live by your own religious plans and projects, you are cut off from Christ. You fall out of grace. Meanwhile, we expectantly wait for a satisfying relationship with the Spirit. For in Christ, neither our most conscientious religion nor disregard of religion accounts to anything. What matters is something far more interior, faith expressed in love. You're running superbly. Who cut in on you? Deflecting you from the true course of obedience. This detour doesn't come from the one who called you into the race in the first place. And please don't toss this off as insignificant. It only takes a minute amount of yeast, you know, to permeate an entire loaf of bread. Deep down, the Master has given me confidence that you will not defect, but the one who is upsetting you, whoever it is, will bear the divine judgment. As for the rumour that I continue to preach the ways of circumcision, as I did in those pre-Damascus Road days, that is absurd. Why would I still be persecuted then? If I were preaching that old message, no one would be offended if I had mentioned the cross now and then. It would be so watered down. It wouldn't matter one way or the other. Why don't these agitators, obsessive as they are about circumcision, go all the way and castrate themselves? It is absolutely clear that God has called you to a free life. Just make sure that you don't use this freedom as an excuse to do whatever you want to do and destroy your freedom. Rather, use your freedom to serve one another in love. That's how freedom grows. For everything we know about God's word is summed up in a single sentence: love others as you love yourself. That's an act of true freedom. If you bite and ravage each other, watch out, and in no time at all you will be annihilating each other. And where will your precious freedom be then? My counsel is this: live freely, animated and motivated by God's Spirit. Then you won't feel the compulsions of selfishness, for there is a root of sinful self-interest in us that is at odds with the free spirit. Just as the free spirit is incompatible with selfishness, these two ways of life are antithetical, so that you cannot live at times one way and at times another way, according on how you feel on any given day. Why don't you choose to be led by the Spirit and so escape the erratic compulsions of a law-dominated existence? It's obvious what kind of life develops out of trying to get your own way. Repetitive, loveless, cheap sex, a stinking accumulation of mental and emotional garbage, frenzied and joyless grabs for happiness, trinket gods, magic show religion, paranoid loneliness, cutthroat competition, all consuming yet never satisfied. A brutal temper, an impotence to love or be loved, divided homes and divided lives, small-minded and lopsided pursuits, the vicious habit of depersonalising everyone into a rival, uncontrolled and uncontrollable addictions, ugly parodies of community. I could go on. This isn't the first time I have warned you. You will know if you use your freedom this way, you will not inherit God's kingdom. But what happens when we live God's way? He brings gift into our lives much the same way that fruit appears in an orchard. Things like affections for others, exuberance about life, serenity. We develop a willingness to stick with things, a sense of compassion in the heart, and a conviction that a basic holiness permeates things and people. We find ourselves involved in loyal commitments, not needing to force our way in life, able to marshal and direct our energies wisely. Legalism is helpless in bringing this about. It only gets in the way. Among those who belong to Christ, everything connected with getting your own way and mindlessly responding to what everyone else calls necessities is killed off for good, crucified. Since this is the kind of life we have chosen, the life of the Spirit, let us make sure that we do not just hold on to it as an idea in our heads or sentiment in our hearts, but work out its implications in every detail of our lives. That means we will not compare ourselves with each other as if one of us were better and another worse. We have far more interesting things to do with our lives. Each one of us is an original. Amen. I do like that version. It's pretty good. And I know it's quite long, and I have to tell you, it's one of those things. I really encourage you to read Galatians, the whole of it, because actually it is just amazing. And it's a really challenging, challenging letter. The thing I love about it is I like the fact that Paul pulls no punches. I'm going to put this down before I throw it on the floor. Sorry, I was away in Cornwall, otherwise I might have been out. I couldn't get the internet working properly and connect myself up, so I had to read from my iPad and that. Okay. Galatians 5. I'll also be using some references from the NLT and the ESV as well. On the 1st of January, 1863, President Abraham Lincoln freed over 3 million American slaves. His proclamation was the most famous in history, and yet by nightfall, only 20,000 had actually walked free. For it to be reality, steps were needed to take hold of that declaration and then to apply it to millions of lives. One writer wrote, who was a child at the time, "After the reading of the proclamation, we were told that we were all free and could go when and where we pleased. My mother kissed us while tears of joy ran down her cheeks, and she explained that this was the day she'd been praying for, but feared she would never see. For minutes there was great rejoicing, thanksgiving, and wild scenes of ecstasy." This morning, we are free. We are free. Is that exciting?
Yeah.
Exciting? Sorry, I will need this after all. I have seen in this church they have really good holders for these things. I think I'll buy myself one. I mean, I just thinking this morning, we've had our amazing time of worship. Thank you, Steve. And I got your name right, which is a first. We had an amazing time of worship. But that worship is only possible because we are
free.
That's very quiet, isn't it? We are
free.
Free. Free indeed. Christ has set us free. Make sure that you stay free and don't get tied up to a slavery to the law. This morning, I really want to look at two things. I want to look at our position and God's provision. And they were the two words that came out of this. And I have to be honest, you start looking at this and you think, you could probably speak for 2 or 3 hours, but we've got lunch booked, so I can't. So this morning, I want us to first grasp what is our position this morning. Who are we? And that's what Paul wanted to say to the Galatians. To understand all that he's been talking about them not getting tied up with the law, talking about circumcision, and it's about knowing their identity. Who is it that they are? I know Stanley spoke a couple of weeks ago also, and we also talk and remind ourselves about the freedom that we have in Christ, that we are heirs and co-heirs. And this morning I wondered, do we feel like we are free? Do we live like people who are free? Or is it that sometimes we allow life and circumstances to bind us up again? Do we sometimes forget that Christ has set us free to live a free life, take your stand, and never again let anyone put a harness of slavery on you? And you're thinking, well, I'm free. It's exciting. I'm free. We had a great time of worship this morning. I'm free. But I wonder what it's like tomorrow morning or the next week. I don't know about you, but we can also get our freedom. We don't have to perhaps worry now about circumcision as something that we commit to. Because, you know, in those days, of course, they wanted to circumcise people who became Christians to sort of say, well, that's good, excellent, you know, I'm going to circumcise you, and then you can become part of the Jewish sect, it's fine. I'll make you I'll bring you into that, because that's what fits. But actually, I was thinking about this and thinking, well, what is it I need freedom from? Do we sometimes ourselves get bogged down with rules about perhaps the way that we worship? Perhaps our church background, where we've had to dress in a particular way or say a particular creed or come to church in a particular way? Have we in our younger days been told that this is the way to do church, this is the way to pray, this is the way to read our Bible? If you don't follow these rules, then to be honest with you, you are never going to be a first-class citizen. And we say now, we are free and we worship, and those things of the past can still niggle. But this morning, I think God says, do you know what? You are free and free indeed. Do not be bound by those things of the past. And as we were worshipping, I just had a sense of, you know, your hands are tied, then just rip it apart and be free. Be free. I know so many people also that within this passage, Paul talks about, you know, the fact that actually, well, can I earn my freedom? And sometimes I think perhaps, you know, I've got a Nectar card, a Tesco card. I don't often bring them with me, but I've got them. And I sometimes think that actually in our Christian walk, sometimes we think, oh, okay, brilliant. I've done some serving. Excellent. Oh, hello, God. Nectar card. Excellent. That should earn me some brownie points. Do you know what? Do you know how many groups I lead? And I mean, as for Steve, I mean, he's all over the place. If anyone's got, I mean, you know, he doesn't really need to worry, does he? Because he could earn himself. I mean, he's going to be up there, isn't he? I mean, God's going to be all right, Jesus, no problem. Does Steve really need to worry about how he lives his life? Because, I mean, he's such a good guy, isn't he? Doesn't that count? Does that not matter? Is that what's really important? And in this, Paul says, do you know what? You can be the most religious, most obedient person ever. It counts for squat diddly. So guys, it doesn't matter if you come to 20 prayer meetings, 30 prayer meetings, or one prayer meeting. Where's your heart? Where's your heart? Really and truly. And you know what? That's actually really liberating. Because sometimes you think, I've got to do this. I've got, well, how do I, particularly if you're a new Christian, you think, well, I better do this. And I thought, and then as you become a more mature Christian, you then think, oh, do you know what? I ought to be doing something, really. What am I not leading? What am I not? And actually, it's good to do these things. And we want to have people that love prayer meetings, and we want to have people that are committed. But that doesn't define who we are. Doesn't define who we are. We are free through Christ. And do you know what's really lovely is? We kept singing about it. It's through grace. We cannot earn it. You can't buy it. It doesn't matter even if you want to put it on your Christmas list. Santa can't get it for you. Sorry, guys, it's out of stock. Only one person can give it to you, and that's God. And he's given it to us this morning. This morning, I just want to say to anybody, if you don't know Jesus Christ, you don't love him with all your heart, and this morning when Steve's playing along, you're thinking, oh, where's the words? This is quite boring. This is okay, but, you know, I've had a lot of this. You know, if your heart doesn't rise up, you think, oh, I love this Jesus. This morning, I really want to pray with you. Because I tell you what, Jesus has got the best, best plans for your life. Best plans for your life. I know what it's like not to walk with God. I know what it was like to spend time going down to the pub and thinking 10 pints of whiskey. No, beer. Sorry, 10 pints of beer with a whiskey chaser. I was in trouble. Standing over at a fruit machine, looking for relationships. Something to fulfill my emptiness. And do you know what? I was just very poor and very lonely, and it didn't really amount to very much. And actually, you know, when I discovered Jesus Christ, it transformed my life. It made a difference. A difference. And do you know what's really good? Is it's not instantaneous either. In terms of, we don't suddenly become super Christians. There's a process. And as I was reading this, I just thought, you know what? Sometimes people perhaps could feel condemned. And you're thinking this morning, well, I'm free, but I'm still tied up, and I still find certain things have a hold on me. This morning, I want to tell you that actually, that's okay. The grave clothes can come off, but don't ever let the fact know that the past is gone. Christ has paid the price for you on the cross, and you are free, and free indeed. Just again, at work, I work for a company that's, I'll be falling in here, a Jewish company, and they recently celebrated Yom Kippur. And actually, they celebrate it one day a year, and that's it. They have to repent. They just give up. They don't eat or drink for 25 hours. They come into an intimate place of holiness with God until next year. And I just think, how blessed are we? How blessed are we? We can come into intimacy and a place with God in the bath, in the shower, now, tomorrow, every time, 24/7. God never closes. Never closes. But through all of this, Paul realizes one thing, that we cannot ever truly be obedient, loving, free lives unless we allow ourselves to live under the freedom of the Holy Spirit. Bear with me a moment, turn too many pages, but that's fine, it's good, it's okay. This morning, verse 16. So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't do what your sinful nature craves. And do you know what's really interesting? Is as I was reading this and preparing this sermon, I'm looking at it and actually, do you know how easy it is when you're preparing a sermon to, you know, you get these niggles. Well, why don't you preach on that part? How can you miss that part? What? And you know, I just said to God, you know, I just want to bring what it is you want me to bring. And actually, I really felt it was important to start, you know, say, do you know what? It's okay to be yourself. I'm not the same as Tim. Whew! Dorla says that's lucky. No. But actually, you know, Tim preaches and he will bring exposition of the word in a really different way to the way I will do. But it doesn't make mine any less than his. And I just feel God this morning wants to say, do you know what? Freedom is about being yourself. Amen. There's no one size fits all. God made Jerry and I be great friends. We couldn't be more different. I can't play the guitar. I didn't even want to practice. I'm as noisy as so-and-so and Jerry's thoughtful and methodical. But God loves us equally. He loves our differences. And this morning, I just really feel there's people here that are thinking, do I fit in? But I'm different. Don't worry, be different. God loves differences. That's why he didn't want, Paul says, don't be circumcised. You don't have to belong to this club. I like it all sizes. It's fantastic. Don't worry about it. It's interesting. I've just come back from Cornwall, actually. And we went for a walk up to Tintagel, where King Arthur's supposed to have been. I personally didn't see him, but there you go. And as you walk up these steps, there are literally sheer drops off every side. And actually, the truth of it is that if you so wanted, you could walk and fall off the edge. And sometimes, freedom in Christ can potentially, you think, well, I've got freedom in Christ, I can do anything. Do I have to obey any rules or any regulations? I'm free. I mean, at the end of the day, God's grace is sufficient for all, isn't it? Sadly, that's not, I don't think, what he's saying. Actually, when we are free from the slave of sin, what we do is we put ourselves under the authority of God. And we said, you know what, God? I want to submit my life to you. Paul says, it's absolutely clear that God has called you to a free life. Just make sure that you don't use this freedom as an excuse to do whatever you want to do. So often, I think, we can settle for a Christian life that has traces of our former life as slaves to sin. And the reason that we sometimes do that is because fundamentally the flesh errs us this way. Oh, actually, what harm would that do? Paul reads out a whole list of things that we might be accused of doing. And you might think, well, I don't think I do that one. But actually, you know, in the flesh, there are so many things that we can really, you know, perhaps it's become obsessed by money. Perhaps it's just things that we think we're browsing through the internet. Perhaps it's just odd things that we look. Perhaps it's a thought, the way that we speak to somebody, an attitude. You know what? To be really honest, Caroline, you're quite annoying. I'm sorry. You know, it's just, you know, I don't, you know, at the end of the day, I'm really sorry. We're very different people. You know, I'm going to come here on a Sunday morning and be really smiley because I'm a Christian. But actually what I'm going to do is tomorrow I'm going to go and tell everyone, she's so annoying. But actually, we aren't called to be double-minded. I love this phrase from the Message. Why don't you choose to be led by the Spirit and so escape the erratic compulsions, it says, of a law-dominated existence? But when I read that, the erratic compulsions of our mad minds, that's human beings, the things that we get involved in and think, oh, I'll just, you know. And we are living in a world that likes to, I hate it on the television, everything you watch is towards, you know, how you can gamble, here we'll give you a free money to do this. And the world is, you know, everything you watch on media, you know, we live in a world, and as a parent, I worry for my daughter who's grown up now, but I think for younger kids as well, the pressure in life is insane. Actually, we want young people to have amazing freedom, but freedom that's secure in a relationship with Jesus Christ. That was just on the side here, but it's fine. This morning, I don't know about you, but I want to live in an amazing freedom. And I want to live in an intimate relationship with the Holy Spirit. Sometimes I think we just go on in our own way, thinking, well, I come to church, I pray now and then, and I'm all right. And, you know, to be fair, I've signed up to Steve's Facebook page, I'm sorted. I mean, listen to a few worship tracks, it'll be okay. But I have to tell you, I've noticed that self-improvement on your own doesn't work. I started Slimming World. And actually, Slimming World is really good. You have all the books and all the steps, and it tells you about, you know, speedy foods and all these sorts of foods. But the truth of it is, I've noticed that if you don't follow the book religiously, it doesn't really work. Apparently, you can't pick and choose. You can't say, well, I'll put the speedy foods to one side and I'll just have all the really bad things. Does it? I mean, you know. Or can I have a speedy food now and then? And truthfully, that can be how our life is. Do you know what? I'm going to come along. I quite like that meeting. Yeah, no. Oh, life's really tough, God. Yeah, hang on. I'll zone in now. Like a God, hello. And he does hear us sometimes, but it's not a relationship. Terry Virgo wrote this about those verses. He said, a full engagement with the Spirit would transform the Galatians' experience. Regarding the flesh's demands, their experience was not to be one of the constant conflict of inevitable defeat, owning the melancholy testimony that we are only miserable sinners. Living by the Spirit is the antidote to the threat of the flesh. And when I read that, I thought, do you know what? I've actually almost think I've grown up with a mentality that says, well, you know, when I do things wrong, you know, I am only a miserable sinner. What else can I do about it? But actually, this morning, we are new creations. We have freedom in Christ. We can live a new way, and with a new way, a new set of rules and regulations that aren't set down like, you must do. It's about relationship with God. This morning, we're reminded about the fruits of the Spirit, which are defined by a relationship with Christ. When Christ's Spirit lives in us, the Holy Spirit lives in us, we are more than conquerors. And what are those fruits of the Holy Spirit? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Wow. Good fruits? Good fruits. And this morning, I don't know about you, but I want to make sure that I've got the fruit of the Spirit in my life more and more. More and more. It's interesting that it talks often in one of the translations about the fruit of the Spirit. You know, here we are, you can have it all. The gifts of the Spirit, God gives as he wills, but the fruit of the Spirit, you can have it all. You don't have to say, well, do you know what, actually, I think I'll have a portion of love. Don't worry about the joy or peace. I'll have some goodness. No, God says to you, actually, when you receive his Spirit, you receive love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithful, gentleness, and self-control. Wow, do you imagine what we would be like as a people if we were filled with that all the time, 24/7, and lived lives like that? And does it say it's possible? Yes, it is possible. How can we tell if the fruit of the Spirit is ripe in our lives? Perhaps the same way that you can tell if fruit is ripe, give it a squeeze. Do you know what? When circumstances are happy and everything's going really well, we can be peaceful and loving and wonderful. But do you know what? When things are hard and tough, maybe the juice that comes out of this is a little bit bitter. Actually, the fruit is to be produced not by our work and our effort, but by the Holy Spirit dwelling in us. And this morning, I don't know about you, but I want to be somebody that has fruit that actually is sweet. When life's difficulties come, I want to be able to stand firm. I want to be able to show love to others. I want to be joyful in every situation. I want to know what it is to have the peace from God. I want to know patience in enduring situations. I want kindness and forgiveness towards others. I want goodness, seeking good for my brothers and my sisters. Faithfulness, to be reliable and faithful in all things. Gentleness, I want to understand and know what it is to be humble, and self-control, not gratifying my selfish nature. They're the things that I want. Do we want those things? We want those things. And this morning, God says, you know what? They're available for you. In this passage, Paul doesn't want the Galatians to miss out. He doesn't want them to go with their flesh. He wants them to be drawn into the Spirit and be people of Spirit. The key is that we need to cultivate our relationship with God. And do you know what? Sometimes we so easily struggle to fit him in because of the busyness of life, life's distractions. But we have an invitation to come into the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. An engagement with the Holy Spirit. Is that what we want? To know the very best. God has the finest of fruit for you. Wants to give you all those things. Why? So that you can show his love to others, so that we can be different, so that tomorrow when you go into work or school or college, or you're at home with the children, or you're making stuff for your craft fairs, or whatever it is that you're doing, actually, and you're in a situation, you don't react like your colleagues or your people next door, because actually we are different, and people will notice that. And when people notice that, they'll start saying, Why is it you're like that? And you have a chance to share the truth about Jesus Christ. You don't have to sit there and say, hello, actually, I've got a track in my pocket. Would you like to read this? What's really interesting I've known is that people at work sometimes say to me now, hey, Pete, would you pray for my sister or my brother? Pete, my sister-in-law tried to commit suicide. Would you pray for her? And that's not to blow my own trumpet, but actually, it's just because I share my faith with people and they know I'm a Christian. And you know what's great is they say to you things like, oh, she's got much better, and you say, it's all down to God. It's great. It's all down to God. And it's exciting. Paul wants the Galatians to be a people who make a difference where they are. And I know that I want to be in a church which makes a difference where we are. And I know that we do make a difference. And we could make an even better difference. Not just here, in the places that we work, in the people that we meet. And also, do you know what? I want to be a better person myself. Because one day, we will stand before the King of Kings. We will stand before him. And he will say, do you know what? Not guilty. Not guilty. And we will stand before him as righteous people, knowing the love of God. So my challenge this morning is, what are we going to do different tomorrow? How are we going to live different lives? And this morning, if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Saviour, please let me pray for you. Anyone can pray for you. There's no magic power, but I tell you what, God is passionate, passionate for his people and passionate for his children. And he only wants the very, very best. God doesn't know how to sell second-hand fruit. He only has first-class fruit. Amen.